Revelation chapter 5, it has 14 verses in it. I think we'll just read it all. I almost would not do that for sake of time because we've got a lot to cover this morning. I think it's very important for us as the believer. So let's get right into the reading and then we'll have the message this morning. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation, and hath made us unto our gods kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all them are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory, power be unto him that sitteth on the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. I believe chapter 5 of the book of Revelation is a chapter of victory. You come to the first few chapters, you find the Bible gives us a overall picture of mankind, gives us a picture of the church ages, and tells us what has taken place in all the ages around us. And you come to the Laodicean period of time, and the church is neither hot nor cold, it's just lukewarm, and I believe that's exactly where we are this morning. And our churches are not hot, they're not cold, they're just most of the time they're just there. And the Lord describes that that's the kind of condition the world would be in when you come to chapter 4 and you hear the voice and says, "Come up hither." And I believe that represents the calling away of the saints of God. And so then begins what we know of as the tribulation. And it is upon this world. But if you come to chapter 5, I believe it is the beginning of the end of wickedness in this world. And we see what takes place. And we'll be looking at a little bit of that this morning. Chapter 5, verse 5, "One of the elders said to me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book." Thank God we know who He is. His name is Jesus. And He's the bright and morning star. He is that one, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Root, the offspring of David and his family. And therefore He is able. And He hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. And those seven seals are given to us in the remainder of the book of Revelation, and out of those flow the judgments of God to buy back or to redeem back this world that was lost during the fall of man there in the Garden of Eden. The chapter 5 of Revelation certainly is a chapter of redemption, is a chapter of the buying back of that which was lost. And you come to verse number 9, you have a new song. And then verse number 11, you find the angels, untold number of angels are rejoicing of what the Lord has done. And it gives us a number, really an infinity number, 10,000 times 10,000s of thousands and thousands. That means it just goes on and on and on. Everything else is numbered in the Scripture, but angel you do not have. It's an innumerable company of angels, the angelic hosts. Men are numbered, cherubims are numbered, elders are numbered, the elect are numbered, but the angels are not given a specific number, just 10 times 10,000 times thousands and thousands and thousands. And they're all rejoicing that He hath prevailed, that He is able to open the book. And thank God this morning He's able to buy back, He's able to redeem that which was lost. I want us to notice this morning the tragedy that has taken place. And there are results of that tragedy. The tragedy has come, and come thousands of years ago, when Adam and Eve succumbed to the temptation and the deception of Satan. As they rebelled against God, rebelled against the Word of God, and they fell into sin, and all of mankind has fallen into sin, and we see the results of that every day in our personal walk in this world. You hear it in the news. You hear the tragedies like just a few days ago there at the movie theater. You hear the tragedies of Columbine. You hear the tragedies of Fort Hood and many other places. That's the end result of losing what God started in the book of Genesis, that paradise of God. A usurper has come in and took over. He is that one that has put upon us death and iniquity and the curse upon us. The inheritance is ours and to this day. You see, mankind was made to be kings and priests over this planet that God has given to us. But this imposter, this intruder, this alien has come in. This enemy has come and taken it away. And therefore, he is called the God of this world. Now, he's not the God of anything, but he's considered right now to be the God of this world because he has such influence. And I believe we see that influence everywhere. And of course, you know who I'm talking of. I'm talking of Satan. I'm talking of the devil, that old deceiver. What is needed now is a redeemer. What is needed is that one that is a close relative, a kinsman redeemer that is spoken to us in the book of Ruth, and Boaz being that close redeemer to Naomi, and comes and redeems that which was lost. And when this book of redemption is taken here, it's taken by the one that is worthy. Thank God this morning He is worthy. He is the one that is worthy of all of our praise, honor, glory, all those words that are given to there. And He's able to loose the seals and to battle with the enemy, and thank God to overcome. He takes that intruder, He takes that alien, He takes that enemy, and He casts him out. And He's going to be victorious. And thank God we are on the winning side. Now, we may be down for the count every once in a while. We may have problems along the way, but we're on the winning side. And God's going to bless, and God's going to get the final victory. The final whole purchased possession is to be redeemed. And sin and hell and death and Satan, they'll be cast, the Bible says, in the lake of fire. And they're going to be there forever and forever and forever and forever. And you can just keep saying that. That's how long they're going to be there. Thank God Jesus Christ is worthy. You see, the judgment of God creates for us a new heaven and a new earth. Those things will be passed away where we are now, and we're going to have an inheritance that was lost in Adam's sin. And as Adam's race, one day we'll take our possession because of him. That is the tragedy. We've lost our substance. We've lost our ability to do things, and we have to have someone that's able to take care of us. This old planet is crawling now with mortals that have lost their way. They've lost their purpose. They've lost their identity. And it shows up in a thousand ways. It shows up like those tragedies that I mentioned just a moment ago. It shows up in the tragedies of churches. And it shows up in the tragedies of men and women's lives that are believers. It shows up in the tragedy in the lives of even preachers and missionaries. Because the wicked one has so much control over this world. But thank God He's worthy. And He will take care of that. Who's qualified to save us from our lost estate? The tragedy has happened, but there has to be a redemption. There has to be one that will help us and to take over. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 2, we see John crying, "I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?'" A search was made. The Bible says here they searched in heaven, they searched in earth, and even under the earth. And the Bible said it couldn't find anyone that could do. Now, if you're searching for the way to get to heaven, the search has already been made, and there's no one worthy. There's nothing that you can do. There's nothing that you can make yourself able to have the blessings of God. You can't save yourself. You can't work for it because the search here is already made. They searched in heaven. They searched in earth and even the underworld, the nether world. They searched there and found no one worthy to take the book and redeem this world. But thank God there's one that stood, and His name is Jesus Christ. There is one who is able to come and lift the title deed. You see, He owns the title. He is the owner of this old world. And the title has been stolen away a little while, but He's going to take it back. And He's going to take this intruder. He's going to take this enemy who now possesses it, and He's going to take care of it. A search is made, but no one is found. And they're just not able. You should know that down through history, up to even this day, men have tried and are still trying to repair the damage that happened in the Garden of Eden. Why? Men have tried to buy it so they could repair it. Can't buy it. Men have tried to win it back by their good works. They can't do that. They try to find an ultimate good, and they try to give it to us, our lost inheritance. They want the utopia. Every politician, he guarantees it's going to be better if you elect him. I mean, everybody, they're looking for the very thing that was lost in the Garden of Eden, and that's the perfection of God. And they've already searched it over, and there's no one able to take care of that. The art world of our civilizations have sought to paint it. The political sciences of our countries and centuries have sought to take care of it. The revolutions, the different forms of government, they've tried every way in the world to give back to humanity that which was lost, and that's a good life, and they've ultimately failed. Philosophy, man's finest thinkers, the philosophers of our day and in the days gone by, they have tried and they've sat around and they've just thought about how can we make it better. And philosophy hasn't done it. Man-made religions have tried to make it better and it just continually gets worse. Through the centuries and all through the story of mankind, the attempt has been made. And the try continues over and over again, and the attempt is made. How can we make things better in this world? Who is worthy? Who is able to buy it back and to give it back that lost inheritance? And when you read these verses in chapter 5, you read verse 1, 2, 3, 4, utter failure, utter tragedy. And John says, I wept much. This is the Apostle John who walked with the Lord. He is the one that was always leaning on the bosom of the Lord. He's the one that close disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, I wept much because no man was found worthy to open the book and read the book, neither to even look upon it. And so he says, I wept. There is a tragedy that brings about tears. And John says, I wept. As John looks for the one qualified, has a heavy burden. The damage must be repaired. The inheritance must be restored. And those things that have been relinquished must be regained. And he burst out into an open lamentation and he cries aloud. Audible sobs that he makes. And the scripture here that uses that word, I wept. I looked up the word wept in the Greek, and it just means to cry out loud, to audibly sob. And so everybody will hear it and everybody know. And John was weeping because no one was worthy. No one was able to find that one that could open the book. And he says, I wept. That's a tragic scene. Up to this point, total failure. Up to this point, there's no hope. And he's weeping. Audibly sobbing. John 11:35 says Jesus wept. Now that wept is a different word that means to cry quietly or to sob within yourself. to have the tears, but not the lamenting. You see those Jews sometimes at the Western Wall, the Wailing Wall rather, and they're lamenting, they're weeping, and they're bowing, and they're crying out loud. That's the weeping that John made here this day. Everything is no hope. This world has always been washed with tears. I have listened and probably will hear again the words and see the tears of people that are saddened over loved ones that are in dire need and dire straits. That's a result of the fall. We watch people as they go to the funeral home. We watch people as they go to the cemetery and they're sobbing, they're weeping out loud. And the tears are there. I dare say there are folks this morning that have wept tears this week over people that they love because of needs or problems that's in the life. These tears of John's are not alone. They are the tears of Adam and Eve as they were driven out of the Garden of Eden, as they looked down to the very first grave and they saw where Cain killed Abel. As a result of their sin, the ground was spotted now with their tears. Those tears of the children of Israel in bondage, they cried out unto God, saying, God, deliver us from this bondage and this slavery that we're under. And God heard their cry and delivered them. These are the tears of God's elect down through the history of time that have cried out to God, have wept because of the problems of the world and the problems of sin that come upon us. These are the sobs and the tears that have been wrung from the heart and the souls of God's people that are desiring to have something better. Thank God we have a better day. Weeping is only for a little while. Joy comes in the morning, the Scripture says. This one that has robbed us, he holds. This usurper, he takes and he has control of the world. And John weeps uncontrollably because of a failure to find somebody worthy. Utter failure. All but verse number 5 changes the picture. Verse number 5 changes completely the picture of what takes place. Notice here. And one of the elders. Now there's... The Scripture talks about 24 elders. That is a representation of mankind. It's just a term that represents all of mankind. One of those elders said unto John, and here's where I get my text, the title this morning, weep not. He literally is saying, John, don't cry. Have you ever told your child that maybe they've fallen, they've hurt their arm or they've skinned their nose and they come to you and they're just crying. And you'll say, honey, don't cry. It'll be better. It'll be okay. Things are going to do okay. It may hurt for a little while, but it's going to be all right. Don't cry. That's exactly what that elder tells to John here, the apostle, when he says, weep not. You see, the elder knows something John doesn't know. The elder knew something that was going to reveal to him a triumph, a victory. Now, we've had failure up to this point. Verse 1, 2, 3, and 4 is a sadness and a lamenting and a failure. And the tears have come. John says, I wept much because no man was found. So the tears flow, and the tears flow from you and I. The tears flow from mankind. And this old planet Earth is bathed with tears this morning. Even of those that have never heard the truth, they're crying and weeping because the imposter has come and stolen away our inheritance. Those little boys and girls in the third world countries that have not had enough to eat in over a year, that's because of the wickedness of man. That's because of the sin nature of people. And this whole planet weeps this morning and is going to continue to weep until verse 5. It's going to continue to sorrow until the message is given, weep not. Now, when someone tells you not to cry, they have to have a reason for you not to cry. Moms and dads, we try to tell our children, you don't have to cry. It's going to be better. We give them a reason not to cry. It's okay. I know it hurts now. I know the problem here. And yes, you may have to go to the doctor. And yes, you may have a problem, but it's going to get better. Don't cry. You see, there's a blessed hope there. The Bible tells us in the book of Titus that there is a blessed hope that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, that one day He's going to come and He's going to receive us. And I believe we'll be here part of that gathering, that when we hear John get the word, weep not. You see, for this scene is in heaven of what's taking place before the tragedies of the earth and the judgment of God upon this earth. The rapture has already come, and so we're with the Lord. And we're part of that crowd. Man, that makes chill bumps on my body. I can read about it, but one day I'm going to hear it. All because He's able. All because He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Here we find the triumph while John is weeping and sobbing uncontrollably. And while we are weeping, even today, and if not today, you'll weep tomorrow. And if not tomorrow, you'll weep another day, because weeping comes to man. Aren't you glad the Scripture says God has a bottle for our tears? He knows every one of them. He knows why. He knows the circumstances. Nobody else may know the circumstances, but thank God He does. He has a bottle of remembrance for our tears and our weeping that endures for the night. But thank God, joy does come in the morning. And blessings come and honor comes to the child of God because He is able. David, I ought to underline these next words, hath prevailed. To open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb. Oh, I thought He's the lion. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But John says, I looked and He was a lamb. The Scripture tells me that He's a lamb slain even before the foundation of the world for our redemption, for this very moment that He's able. He was a lion. He is a warrior supreme. Thank God He can handle the problem. He can win the battle. He's already won the battle. And the victory's ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the elder said, John, here's your lion. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And John knew exactly what he meant. That's a Jewish term. They knew the Lion of the tribe of Judah was none other than the Messiah. He's the Lord of glory. And John, when he looked at him, he didn't see the lion warrior, but thank God he saw the lamb, the wonderful Savior. Praise the Lord this morning. He's my wonderful Savior. And John beheld Him. There stood a lamb as it had been slain. And He was slain one day. He died upon Calvary's tree for you and I, for the sins of not only us, but for the whole world. So the tragedy comes and the tears come, but thank God the triumph can come also. It's the Lamb. I may shock some of you. It's not your church. It's the Lamb. As important as I think the local church doesn't save anybody. The church is not the saving element. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So it's not the church. It's the Lamb. It's not our church ordinances, our ceremonies. Why? You got to do this. No. You got the ceremony in the wrong place. Why, don't you have to be baptized? I heard somebody say this week at camp, don't you think that the Lord that flung the worlds into existence and gave us a plan of redemption, do you think we as an individual, as a person, have to add baptism to what God's already done? No, He don't do that. That's not a part of our salvation. That's an ordinance that is important, and we're going to be observing it week after next. And it's important, but that is not what gives us victory. It's not in our ceremony. It's the Lamb. It's not your good deeds. Now, we ought to live good. But child of God, I'll live right. But that's not what gives us victory. It's the Lamb. John, weep not. Don't cry. Because the Lion is here to win the battle. And John says, oh, but he's my Lamb that's already won the battle. I sort of think I can, in my mind, picture John sort of doing this. He's done heard the message from heaven. You hear from heaven, it changes things. He's done heard from the elder that had a good message. He's done heard from that one that knows exactly who he's talking about. And John, here's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's worthy. Oh, John, he does this. He says, oh, God, forgive me. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad he can wipe away our tears? He can take us and mold us and make us and wipe our tears away and use us in His work, even though we have gone through the tragedy. We're sinners. You know the only difference between us and people in the world? We're saved sinners, and they're not. That's all. Don't ever look down your righteous nose and say, I'm better than that person. But by the grace of God, you'd be lower than they are. So the triumph comes because the announcement is made. He's here. John, don't cry. The songwriter put it this way. It was the third day since he died. It was said that he would arise, and from the grave his plan came forth. Oh, I have reason to rejoice. He chose the place, he chose the hour, that he would rise by his own power, sacrificed 3 days ago, and now, praise God, the Lamb arose. I wasn't there when Jesus died. I wasn't there to see him rise, but I was there when he saved my soul. For within my heart, his love arose. Thank God this morning. And the course says, there arose a Lamb in Jerusalem. He was the Son of the great I Am. He proved to be my victory. There arose a Lamb in Jerusalem. Well, that's victory. That's shouting ground. The message of the Lamb is, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's His message. Now the intruder, the imposter, the enemy, he wearies us. The Savior gives us rest. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Do you realize this morning, this world out here that's controlled by the imposter, they don't care about you. They're just users. They'll use you until you're used up. And they throw you away. That's the way the devil does. He will use, He will abuse, He will destroy, He will tear down, He will distress. All of those things the devil does. But Jesus said, come unto me, I'll give you rest. Cast your cares. Anybody have cares this morning that only God can answer? Sure we do. And the Lion, the Lamb, He says, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. The world don't care about me. The world don't care about you. Oh, but thank God, this one that's worthy, He cares. Hebrews 13:5, Jesus says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Praise God. Romans 10:11, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Opportunity is today to believe upon He that has given victory. So yes, there is a tragedy. Took place centuries ago and cast this world into disgrace and trouble. And because of that, there's tears everywhere. Oh, but the elder says, don't weep. Don't cry. For we found one worthy. Wouldn't it be a sad state of affairs if we had no one worthy this morning? Wouldn't it be bad if we were living here and say, oh, I hope somebody can take care of this mess. It's already taken care of. I like the little phrase, in the process of time. Time will take care of it. the wickedness of this world one day will bow at the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because He's the Lion. He's the Lamb. Those people that despise morality. I just want to publicly say, eat more chicken. Boy, I didn't get to do it. I guess I could have. Y'all did. How far did you drive? 45 minutes to go eat a chicken. Somerset didn't have Chick-fil-A. I think somebody ought to open one. That'd be a good business to get in now. But that crowd that despises morality, one day they're going to know the tragedy has come upon them and the judgment of God has fallen upon them, and they'll say, "Oh Lord." The mayors of those cities that said, "We don't want them in our town," Rob Emanuel and all that crowd, they're going to know one day that there is a God in heaven, and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's our victory. That's our victory song. And He's there and He's worthy. And John was weeping and crying and sobbing and almost uncontrollably. And the elders said, "John, don't weep. Don't cry. We found the one that's worthy. He will save us from our shame and embarrassment. He'll turn us from our sin and turn us to Him." 1 Peter 2 says, "Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture." I'm glad of this. I like things that's contained in the Scripture. And old Peter says, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious." Precious name, we sang. He's the elect stone. He's the precious stone. "And he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded or confused. We that believe upon Him have hope and life. We will never crumble into humility and defeat, because we have a Lord, we have a Savior, and He's worthy." Hallelujah. The old song says, "Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Thank God, I'm glad I know Him. And all I can do is ask you, do you know Him?" Again, let me go back to the point. It's not, do you know Him? It's not that you're a member of a church. Do you know Him? It's not the fact that you've been baptized. Do you know Him? It's not the fact that you've taken communion or Lord's Supper. Do you know Him? You can go through all the form and fashion of religion that you want to and die without God, and the Scripture says you end up in hell. What a tragedy of life. I think religion is one of the worst things. It is one of the worst things that's ever come upon mankind. Religion. My friend, we don't need religion. We need God. We need the Lord. If you don't know Him, if you don't have Him, He sure wants to be your Savior. Because you know what? He's able. He's able to save to the uttermost. Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord emphatically shall be saved." That's not a hope-so statement. That's not a maybe-so statement. That is an emphatic shall be saved. If you haven't done that, you don't have any other time than right now. "Oh, I've got tomorrow." Are you sure? "I've got next week." Are you sure about that? Who knows that some crazy one of those that's been affected by the fall, the one we've been talking about, the intruder has control of him. Who knows that he doesn't come where you are one day and just destroy you? "Oh, it never happened to me." I don't say that anymore, because it could happen to all of us. "Oh, it wouldn't happen in Madisonville." "Oh, are you sure? We've never had any murders in Madisonville?"
"Had a bunch."
"Oh, I'm okay." Are you immune to accidents that we call accidents? You sure that won't happen on the way home? I remember maybe a little over a year ago, a fellow come around this curve here on that motorcycle and threw him up in the air, and he skidded I don't know how many feet, and buddy, I thought he's dead. Are you sure that won't happen to you today? Oh no, I'm not going to ride no motorcycle. No, but you might be in that car. We've had, two or three die right here on that curve in the 30 years I've been here. Are we sure what tomorrow holds? No. So right now, today is the only time you have to make sure you get right with God. Can't recall yesterday. It's history. Every yesterday of your life is history, written, unchangeable, unalterable. I think we ought to be, sometimes we look around this world and my goodness, how wicked it is and how sinful it is and how sorry everything going on. Maybe we ought to just say like, and hear the words like John heard the words, don't cry. Weep not. Joy cometh in the morning. If you know Him, joy is in the morning. If you don't know Him, joy can come 5 minutes after 12 today. That's just how simple it is. Religion muddies up the water where you can't understand it. Society don't want it. Governments could care less. But Jesus said, I've come that you might be saved. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And He still can save. He still does save. His power has not been diminished. His love has not been altered. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. That's the God we serve. And that elder said, weep not. There's a better day coming. Let's stand together this morning.